good evening. It's lovely to see you this evening. It's lovely to welcome you to SENT, one of the mission communities of South Parade Baptist Church. My name is Peter Morden, and I'm one of the ministers here, and it's lovely to see you. We're going to worship God this evening as we sing. We're going to pray to him. We're going to hear his words. There's the opportunity for us to talk together, and it's great to be here. I want to begin by reading some words from Ephesians chapter 1, and beginning at verse 3. In the original Greek, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14 is all one sentence, and it's as if the Apostle Paul is just so carried away with the glory of Jesus and the wonder of the gospel, he can't pause for breath. He's so excited, and all these words and phrases about the glory of the gospel just tumble out. I'm not going to read the whole sentence, but I will read the first few verses of Ephesians 1, and then beginning at verse 3. So this is what he says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Just catch a sense of his wonder and excitement. Maybe the phrases are so compressed that we can't take it all in, but I think we can take in that sense of glory and a desire to praise and worship God for what he's done for us in Jesus. And we have the opportunity to do that now. Joe and Rachel are going to lead us. I want to invite you to stand, if you're able, as we get ready to praise and worship our wonderful God.
Thank you.
praise your name. We worship you, the Creator God, the one who made us. And we worship you, the Redeemer God, the one who in Jesus has saved us. Lord, we lift our hearts to you. We lift our voices to you. We thank you for your presence here with us tonight by the Holy Spirit. And we pray that each one of us would know you, touching our lives, forgiving our sins, speaking into our situation, speaking into the life of our community and the wider church. Lord, deal with us in the deep places of our lives, the deep places of our life together. Restore, refresh, renew, strengthen, and challenge and encourage, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Of God for us. Over the mountains and the sea, his river runs with love for me. Please do sit down. Going to remain in an attitude of worship as we take up our offering for this evening. If you are a visitor here this evening, don't feel obliged to give. This is really for members and friends of the church. But if you feel prompted, that's fine. But don't feel obliged. We'll take up our offering now. Father, we thank you that you've given us so many good things. Lord, we're overflowing with your grace and your love. And we thank you and praise you that you are the giving God. And so, Lord, we offer these gifts back to you, and we pray that you take them and those that have been given at other times and in other ways, and that you'd use them in your service. But more than that, O Lord, we pray that you would take and you would use us. Lord, we want to offer you our very lives as living sacrifices dedicated to your praise and glory. So take us and use us in the week ahead, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I should have presented the plate, apparently. I'm still picking these. It's over here. Just bear with me for a moment. There we go. Going to have some notices now, and I've got a few to give, and then there'll be the opportunity for others, if you have a notice to bring. So there is a SENT mission community meeting after the SENT service next week, so February the 11th. And there is also a SENT event, which is on March the 17th, a film night, Son of Man. Further details to be confirmed. I believe we may have a trailer that is queued up. So if this appears, this will give you more of a sense of what this is all about. Looks incredibly powerful. As you probably picked up, it is the life of Jesus transposed into an African setting. Very, very powerful, very thought-provoking. And there will be the opportunity to invite friends along to that. So the 17th of March, further details to be confirmed, but that is very much a date to put into your diary. Are there any other notices that people want to bring? Now is your opportunity. Okay, that's fine. Megan Hobbs is here. Megan is our new intern, which is absolutely fantastic for us. And hopefully it's pretty good for you as well. So I'm going to ask Megan some questions, and then we're going to pray for her. So can you tell us about your internship? What does it involve?
So it's one day a week, and currently that involves partly some training in theology, which is through the Leeds School of Theology, and then the other part is mostly working with the coffee shop. So if you don't already know, then South Parade has a coffee shop up in Holt Park in Addle, and I am helping with some of the managing of that and also just volunteering there on a Monday afternoon, serving teas and coffees and getting to know the community.
And of course, many of you, or a number of you, may not know about the coffee shop in Holt Park. And is there a map just coming up? There it is. So we've got the ABC coffee shop there. I don't know if you know Holt Park, Addle. If you don't, then that won't make much sense. But it's there. And so you get an idea, hopefully, of where the coffee shop is based. How have you seen God working through the ministry of the coffee shop?
So the coffee shop has been going for about 18 years now, I think, and I've been involved for the last few years. From my perspective, personally, God's really worked through it. So I had a period of time of being quite anxious and depressed, and that's something that I'm struggling with ongoing. But working at the coffee shop has given me a chance to kind of work with a really friendly team in a really welcoming environment, and the people that I've met there have made me just feel at home and like I've got a purpose in that place. For other people, I've seen one particular lady who had lost her husband, and she just needed something to do with her time that was really valued and productive, so that's helped her to kind of get out of the house and be involved. So she volunteers there with me at the moment. And then for the customers that come in, for some of them they come in the same time, the same day, every week, and I think it's just a real place of security for them. I think even if they don't hear God's name or a really specific message about God, I think they feel a sense of him and his presence there because they come back again and again. For other people, they have moved on from that sense of God to actually seeking to know him, being part of the cafe church, which is once a month there, and actually developing their own relationships with God. So it's working on all different levels to reach different people in the places that they're at, which is great.
That's just tremendous to hear. I'm not at all surprised. Whenever I've been to the coffee shop, I've been to Cafe Church where Chris, who's our speaker tonight, was speaking, and been to the coffee shop for a cup of tea or maybe some meetings. And there's always been people there. There have been people coming in, going out. So there's a something really significant that's happening. So it's great to have that confirmed. How can we support the ministry of the coffee shop as a wider church, maybe as Sent, a mission community here, but also the wider church, because there's people here from different mission communities?
There's lots of ways, really. I think the most important way is to pray about the ministry of the coffee shop. I want to try and set up a prayer support group. So fantastic. If you're interested in being a part of that and just receiving updates, then let me know. And then beyond that, being aware that the coffee shop is there for everyone to use. I know it's a bit out of the way for some people, but it's a location that we have all through the week. It's open as a coffee shop Monday to Thursday in the middle of the day, but as a church we can use it anytime, any day of the week, in the evenings, the weekends. So if people want to run groups there, if people want to meet and have a Bible group there, things like that would be great. On a more kind of individual level, we're always in need of more volunteers, so if anyone feels that they have time to give to serve in the coffee shop or other things that would be really useful is helping with the shopping for supplies. So you don't actually have to come into the coffee shop and serve teas and coffees if that's not your thing. But if you've got a car and you think you could help us buy some supplies on a kind of monthly basis, things like that, really practical things would be helpful.
Help with accounting, is that, has that been covered or is that still?
So we're in need, at the moment, Harold, who's been looking after the accounts of the coffee shop for since it started, is wanting to step down. He's been very faithfully serving for a long time, and it would be great if someone felt they had the skills and interest to do that. We'd need to kind of figure out what that might look like for that individual. It's not necessarily going to be exactly what Harold does at the moment, because he does quite a lot, but it could be just managing the accounts from a kind of background position. You don't have to be on the coffee shop floor if you don't want to be. But yeah, there's loads of ways, and I just want to encourage everyone to really think, if you yourself can't do that, can't commit to that, then be praying that we can find people that can commit to that, because without the people being there to serve the cups of coffee, do the washing up, all the kind of unglamorous essential things, these people in this community aren't necessarily going to hear about God and what he's done for them. And it's just such a practical way to share God's love. So,
and a prayer email is a fantastic way of keeping people in touch, and I would really encourage you to sign up for that. And if people are interested in any of the things that you've said, you're the person to speak to in the first instance, certainly this evening.
Yeah, there's some prayer points up there. So I don't know if we maybe want to look at those a bit later, but
That's great. And obviously, huge potential, as there is right across our church, in my view. So it'll be really exciting to see what God is going to do in the next few years, and really exciting to see what God is going to do through the coffee shop. That's obviously a significant part of your brief as an intern. How can we pray for you as an intern more generally? Because that's important too.
I think for me, the main thing is time management and kind of energy. So I have one day a week to commit to this, which really already doesn't feel like enough. And I would love
to. And that's not all you do, is it?
That's not. I work part-time as a junior doctor as well. So, and
that's easy then.
That's the easy bit of my week. And then the intern bit is the challenging bit. I do feel this drive and enthusiasm to give a lot to what I'm doing with the coffee shop and that's the fantastic. School of Theology as well. Yeah. And but I'm aware that I need to kind of set a limit on that and also find help when I need it, which I'm not always that good at doing. So prayer for that, really, and for Tim in supporting me, because he gets the complaints at the end of a difficult day.
I'm sure you're very nice with him. So we won't pray for him too much. Just a little bit. We'll pray for you. Be good to pray now, wouldn't it? And what I'm going to do, I will pray for Megan, and then we will just go into groups for a little while and pray for a number of other issues, but also continue to pray for Megan and the work of the ABC coffee shop. And so if we can leave those points up there on the screen, then we can tap into those in the later time of prayer as well. But let's pray for Megan now. Maybe if you're comfortable, just lift your hands forward as we pray for Megan. Father, we thank you so much for Megan. Thank you for her enthusiasm and insights, and for the way that she has begun her role as an intern. Thank you for the great ideas that are coming out, like the prayer email for the coffee shop. And we do pray that you would sustain her and strengthen her for the role that you have given. We pray for her work as a junior doctor as well. And we recognize the huge value and the huge pressure that there is there. Lord, we pray that she would see you at work in new ways, in surprising ways, through her everyday work, whether it's at the coffee shop or whether it's as a doctor. and Lord, that she would know that you are blessing her mission and ministry. Lord, for the work of the coffee shop, we pray. We thank you for Rosemary and Harold and all of those who have worked so faithfully over 18 years. And Lord, in this new season, we pray for Megan and those who continue in leading teams and in helping Monday to Thursday. We pray for those who work at Cafe Church, and we ask that you would bless them. Lord, we trust and pray that they had a good morning this morning, and we pray for continuing fruit from that ministry. And now, Lord, we pray that you would provide the people and the resources that are necessary, not only for this work to survive, but far more, O Lord, for it to thrive, for it to grow, for it to be all that it could be for you. Lord, we lift it to you. And especially, Lord, we lift Megan to you now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. It would be good to continue in prayer now. And I'm going to encourage you into groups. We're leaving the ABC coffee shop requests on the screen. And there are a number of other things to pray for. Sent, pray regularly for a street in the Headingley neighbourhood. And tonight we're praying for St. Michael's Terrace. So I would encourage you to lift that street to the Lord. Also for Irene West, who is our BMS missionary, please do lift her to the Lord in prayer. But as well as that, I encourage you to pray for yourselves, to pray for your mission and ministry in the week ahead, whether it's in the wider community, whether it's in the workplace, whether it is amongst family and friends, probably all of those things. Just pray for strength. If there is a particular point for prayer you feel able to share, then just do that briefly in the groups and then go straight into prayer. It may be that you're not familiar with this. It may be that you would like to join a group and just be quiet. It may be that you just like to sit on the outside of this. And that is fine. You have permission to be yourself and to do what you feel comfortable doing. But if you are able, I want to encourage you into these groups. And if you are able, I want to encourage you to pray out loud, because I think the Lord loves it when he hears us pray. So just for about 8 minutes or so, we'll be in these groups and we'll pray. Groups of three or four, away we go. Just encourage you to bring your prayers to a close. Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of prayer. And we lift again these prayers. We gather them up, the prayers that have been spoken and those that have been said in our hearts. And we lift them to you and pray that you would answer them in accordance with your good and pleasing and perfect will. Lord, we know that you know best. And we also know that you are the one who's able to do more than we ask or imagine or think. So, Lord, work by the mighty power that you alone have, by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, Chris Dyson is going to be coming and speaking. Chris is the leader of Sent Mission Community, beginning a series on 2 Timothy. I know you had the introduction from Nathan last week, and now Chris is plunging in with the opening verses. Before we have the reading, we're going to sing a song which is really appropriate as we come to hear and receive the word of God. Hungry, I come to you. Let's stand together and use these words as a prayer as we prepare to hear Chris speak to us. Please do sit down. Going to have our reading now from God's Word. I'm thinking someone might spring up to do this, but if not, I'm very happy to do it myself, unless you wanted to do it, which you're happy for me to do it. That is absolutely fantastic. Just give me a moment to find the passage. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, running through to chapter 2 verse 13. So quite a long chunk. It's wonderful to read a longer passage of Scripture in the context of a church service. So let's hear the Word of God together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Wonderful. Let's pray for Chris as he comes to us. Father, we thank you so much for Chris. We thank you for the way that with others he leads this mission community. And now, Lord, we pray that you would speak through him and through your word to us. And as you do so, bless him also, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
On. Is that okay? That sounds a bit more promising.
There we go. Got there in the end. Always good to check first. Thanks, Peter. That was really great. Thanks for reading that. What a great passage. It's a tricky one to do justice with the time that we've got available, but it's a really exciting one. I'd encourage you just for a couple of things before we really get stuck in. First, I'd encourage you to go listen back to Duncan's introduction to this book that he preached last week. He gave a really good thematic overview of the book. It was really, really good. And he talked about the legend that is Rodney Hayes, who was my physics teacher as well, and my parents' physics teacher too. There we go. So, listen back to that one and hear. All of our sermons are put on the church website, so I'd encourage you to go and listen back if that's something that will be helpful for you. And also the PowerPoint will be on the church website as well. And there's going to be a few Bible passages that I'm going to mention, but not necessarily read through in full. So it's worth going back, partly to check that I'm saying stuff that's accurate, but also to follow up on some of those passages and dig a bit deeper into the Bible and some of the passages that are related to this. Sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, I always get really excited because it's something that I know a lot about. Sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, I'm really intimidated because it's an area I know very little about, and therefore what I say is a fruit of my learning process on that particular topic. This sermon is one that I guess I've had to live as I've prepared it. It's the things that I think that God is saying to us this evening are things that I've had to hear and process and deal with. And reflect on this last couple of weeks. So it's been a massive encouragement to me, this passage, and I hope that it's encouraging and affirming for you in all of your faiths. One of the things that we'll be doing is through this passage is encouraging you to reflect on your journey of faith so far. And I recognise that there may be some people here this evening that don't consider themselves fully committed to Jesus, and that's all right. We're really glad that you're here. But when I then talk about your journey of faith, there's still good things to reflect on for you as well. Reflect on your journey to South Parade Baptist Church on a chilly February evening such as this. What brought you here? Who was involved in that? How has God been speaking to you over this as well? So the thing that has really stuck out to me from this passage is the fact that being a Christian is difficult. It's not always easy. We can doubt. We can have spells in our faith where we can feel really dry, where we don't feel excitement about God. There's times when we can be tempted and distracted by other things that can lead us away from God as well. We can find ourselves in difficult and challenging circumstances that can seemingly consume all of our energies, all of our faculties, and leave nothing left for God, it seems. We can be stressed, we can be harried, we can suffer. We can become frustrated because we really want to do things God's way, but we're struggling to see how the fruit is happening in our lives. In the ministries that we commit to, we can see, we can question whether God's in them because they don't seem to be going the way that we hope them to. We can question what we're doing. But I hope that this passage will speak into those situations for us and encourage us to stay faithful and keep on going in our Christian faith. So, firstly, in terms of how to get into the depths of this passage, we'll paint a picture of where this passage comes from, what's going on around the time, who's involved, and that kind of thing. So the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. Timothy was originally from Lystra. Lystra is in modern-day sort of south-central Turkey. Timothy's father was Greek, and his mother was Jewish, and he was brought up in the Christian faith by his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, as it mentions in the passage today. Paul and Timothy probably met the first time that Paul visited Lystra, which is recorded in Acts 14. And in Acts 16, it's the first time that Timothy is mentioned in the Bible. Paul and Barnabas had disagreed in the previous chapter about whether Mark was reliable enough to take with them on their next missionary journeys. Paul, looking for somebody reliable, chose Timothy instead and brought him along instead. Paul and Timothy, from that point, had a close teaching and mentoring relationship. Timothy learned a huge amount off Paul, and their relationship was so close that Paul refers to him a few times as his son in the faith. Such was the closeness there. Timothy became mature, he became confident, he became capable, and he became called into church leadership. And when he was ready, Paul put him in charge of the church at Ephesus, probably sometime around about 64 AD. Timothy was capable, he was ready for this, but he was severely tested in that role because he was quite young relative to some of the people that he was ministering to. And so there's a bit of discussion and debate about this, but the letter of 1 Timothy was probably written to encourage Timothy in the early stages of this ministry as well. Timothy was really upset when Paul left Ephesus, when Paul had left him in charge of the church. It describes in the passage that he wept, he cried, partly because he would miss that closeness of the relationship with Paul, but partly because at that point he was on his own, as it were. Well, God was with him, but he was vulnerable. He was responsible. He was carrying the can. An interesting thing that they both potentially had in common, Paul and Timothy, is they both potentially suffered from various chronic illnesses as well that would cause them to suffer every now and again. There's a couple of references to where people think that those are referred to. There is a bit of disagreement between scholars and theologians as to when 2 Timothy was written. Of the various different viewpoints that I've read about, the one that seems to make most sense to me is that it was written somewhere around 65 AD, somewhere between 65 and about 68 AD, depending on when Paul died and when Paul handed the church in Ephesus over and all that kind of thing. These were challenging times to be in the church and in Roman society generally. And a few of the things that were happening potentially around the time that this letter was written, depending on what date it actually was written. In 64 AD, under Nero's reign, the Great Fire of Rome happened. A large amount of the city was destroyed, and Christians got the blame for starting it. As a result, there was the first officially sanctioned by the Roman government persecution of the church. The first time that the Roman government had done that. And all sorts of horrible things happened to the church, not just in Rome, but across the Roman Empire as well. In Judea, back in Israel, tensions between the Jews and the Romans were growing over this time. And over various decisions about taxes and money that was supposedly owed to Rome, one of the governors of the region at the time went and stole money from the temple, claiming that it was owed to Rome. And the resulting uprising from that started the first Jewish-Roman war, which ran from 66 to 70 AD. So even if the war didn't overlap with 2 Timothy, it was on its way. Zealot rebels kicked out the Romans for a few years out of Jerusalem, and the Romans regrouped under the general Vespasian, who then became the emperor, and the general Titus, who was his son, and they attack Jerusalem, ultimately in 70 AD. They destroy the temple and took all the valuables out of it, including the big menorah that you can see on the picture there, the seven-armed lampstand, dragged it all back to Rome, and then commemorated it on what's known as the Titus Gate, which still stands in Rome. This event ended the temple-oriented, temple-focused Jewish worship, as it was known to that point. And Jesus prophesied about this in Mark 13, amongst other places. These were dark times. These were challenging, troubling times to live in. Paul, at this point, when he was writing the letter, was in prison in Rome for the second time. The first time he was in prison in Rome was in Acts, recorded in Acts 28. He was then released, went about further ministry, and he was back in prison again. He'd been tried, he'd been put on trial, and he knew that he was likely in the very near future to be executed, probably in the arena, probably a violent, gory death in front of an audience. But yet he kept ministering, he kept going in his faith. He asks Timothy to bring his scrolls so that he can keep going in his ministry, supporting and praying and seeking for Jesus' good news to be spread and communicated where he was able to. In Ephesus, where Timothy was, false teachers were sneaking into the church, were weaseling their way in, and were leading otherwise faithful Christians astray, in some cases completely away from the faith altogether. Some of these false teachers were exploiting vulnerable people, it says, in 2 Timothy as well. Other previously strong Christians had been drifting away from the faith, had walked away from the faith, some of them because of temptation, and some of them just because they were finding things difficult. It was a difficult times to be a Christian, and it seemed to be too much for some of them. Outside the church, many, many people hated the gospel. They hated Jesus, and they hated Christians, and they made life very, very difficult for God's church at the time. So put yourself in Timothy's shoes. Can you imagine the situation that he's in charge of a church here? There's bleak times, bleak and unsettled times in the society around him. There's pressure and intimidation from outside the church. He's undermined inside the church and usurped and conspired against. He's isolated and he's been abandoned by people that he considered to be reliable. He's stressed in his mind because of the responsibilities, and potentially his health problems are just nagging at him regularly as well, just to compound things. But yet he was responsible. He was accountable. God's people in Ephesus looked to him for guidance, for leadership, for hope, and for direction. Perhaps you're in Timothy's shoes already. Perhaps some of that you can relate to. Being a Christian is difficult. We may not be in exactly the same situation as Timothy, but there are certain common things that we can often encounter. What are you finding most challenging in your Christian faith at the moment? What are you finding the most challenging in terms of your faith? Where are you finding it challenging to trust God? Where are you finding it a challenge to live God's way, to keep going in Him, and to trust God in the ways that you know that you should? Equally, things might be going brilliantly at the moment. Things might be going great. Your faith might be really strong. Your relationship with God is close. And you're hungry for more. You're hungry for more and you want to keep growing and being fruitful. That's a good place to reflect from as well this evening. And so into that situation, God speaks through Paul into Timothy's life. And Paul gives Timothy encouragement, he gives him affirmation, and he gives him assurance about where he is in his faith, about the truth, about where God has been up to this point, about where he is now, and the assurances about where God will be taking him in the future. And we should do the same. I think it would be a really good thing for us to be doing this evening, to be thinking about and remembering the goodness that God has shown us in our life so far, to remember the truths that he says about where we are now in him, and to remember the promises that he gives us to be with us in the future. To pull out a few of the themes from this passage then, Paul pulls out a few things for Timothy to remember, to reflect upon, to give him confidence and assurance in the situation that he finds himself. Remember your place in God's eternal plan. So in verse 3 of chapter 1, Paul reminds Timothy that Paul serves God as his forefathers did. He looks back to the Old Testament. He looks back to the Jews that served God and were expectant for a Saviour, for a Messiah who was going to come, who was going to save them, bring them back to God. That was Jesus. That's the Jesus that Paul served and Timothy served and that we serve now. Remember that relationship with God's people throughout the ages. We can read about it in the Bible. We can read about it in good books. We can read about the church and read about church history and the faithful Christians throughout the ages who've kept going in the faith and kept the message going, passed it on to others. Look for the great people of faith that went before us and be encouraged at how they kept going in the faith. In verse 9, Paul reminds Timothy that God had marked him for salvation in Christ even before the world began. There's lots of theological controversy about such things. This is not primarily meant to be fueling a theological debate about predestination and free will and all that kind of thing. What Paul is trying to get across to Timothy here is that there is no doubt, there is no accident. The fact that Timothy is in the church and belongs to Jesus and knows Christ is not an accident. God knew it. He planned it. He knew it was going to happen. There was no accident there. And it's the same for us as well. If you know and you love Jesus, don't be tempted to think that you've sort of snuck in a back way somewhere and you're just an imposter. No, you belong in God's family. If you know Jesus, it's because he welcomes you in. We have a welcome team out there. We don't have bouncers. Anybody is welcome in God's family. This is where we should be. Maybe not in this church, maybe in other churches, wherever it is. Provided you're part of the church, it is God's family. And that's where we as Christians belong. You've not snuck in. God has welcomed you in by his love and by his grace. There is no accident there. In verse 5, Paul reminds Timothy to reflect on the key people in his life with God. Specifically, his mother Lois, his grandmother Eunice, who loved Timothy, who loved Jesus, and who brought Timothy up knowing God and living for him. They showed their love for Timothy by giving him the greatest thing and the greatest guidance that they could give him, which is to follow Jesus. Think of the people that have done the same for you, who loved you and cared for you and took the time to speak into your life, to pass on that good news of Jesus to you, that valued you in that. So, who was that for you? Who took time to guide you in God's way? Who did God put in your life at the right place, at the right time, to keep you going? For me personally, I think of my parents. When I think of that, they brought me up going to church. We didn't really talk about faith as a family very much. We were very reserved in that sort of sense. But the way that they lived their lives left me with no doubt at all that what they were teaching in church was true and correct. Why would I cause to doubt the truths about Jesus when I could see it so clearly in their lives that that's how the world worked? The fulfillment and the joy that they had in Christ and the way that they lived with him showed me that that was the right way to go. And I'm forever grateful for them for all that they did for me. Remember to stay focused. Remember to not compromise. And Paul uses three illustrations to help Timothy out with this. He uses the illustration of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. So like a soldier, Timothy should remember who is in charge. He should remember who he's following and who he's responsible to. We shouldn't be tempted when we're struggling with things to appoint another leader over our lives. Oh, Jesus is not working out following him. I'm just going to do things my way for a bit. Or I'm going to do my own thing in this sort of way. No. Keep following Jesus wholeheartedly Keep following him and doing things his way. It will be worth it, even if things are hard. It's worth keeping going with. Like an athlete, Timothy should remember to follow the ways that Jesus taught us to live. We shouldn't try and justify to ourselves that we should be allowed to cut corners. We shouldn't let our standards slip. We shouldn't let the end justify the means in our Christian life and in anything that we do. Even when we don't have our heart in what we're doing church-wise, we should keep going. Keep doing things God's way, because that's the best way to do things. And he'll be with us in that. Like a diligent and a wise farmer, Timothy should remember that his hard work and his toil will achieve something great and valuable. We should remember that in knowing and following Jesus, we find the greatest satisfaction and the greatest fulfillment. Sometimes the easy option looks really quite all right. The grass sometimes looks a bit greener, but Jesus' way is the best way. To know Jesus is to be led by quiet waters, to be settled down in green pastures. It might be hard, it might be challenging, but that is the way. That is the best way to go. And remember that following Jesus is doing God's work. It's not doing our work, it's doing God's. Paul reminds Timothy that God's word is not chained. Even though he's languishing in prison at this point, God's word is not chained, and God still works powerfully. However limited we are, or we think we are, whatever it is that we can't do, whatever it is that we long to do but aren't able to do anymore, whatever it is that we are constrained, whether we feel rubbish, whether we feel terrible, God can still achieve his purposes through us. We might feel terrible, but God can make us shine like lights in a dark place, even when we don't realize it, because it's his work that's being done and not ours. It's dependent on him, not on us. Remember the gospel, most fundamentally of all. Remember the gospel. Paul points Timothy back to Jesus again and again. It's all about Jesus. Jesus was Paul's hope and strength. Jesus was Timothy's hope and strength. And Jesus is ours as well. Remember the cross. Look back to the cross. That Jesus took our sins. That he died with them. That he rose again to give us eternal relationship with God. That is fundamental. That is transforming. Our sins were taking us to death and to eternal separation from God. But Jesus gave us salvation. He gave us forgiveness and eternal life. The best news. Amelie encouraged us with this in small group the other week. If you doubt whether God loves you, if you question God's goodness, look to the cross. See God's Son die and rise again for you. For us, for all of us. And know this, and know with certainty that when we look to the cross, we can know definitively that God loves us and wants to know us. There is no doubt, there is no denying it. Look to the cross. God loves you because of Jesus, because of the cross. We can know that assurance and that certainty. And because of that, remember that God is always with us. God is always with us by the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds Timothy about some of the ways that God helps us stay on track faith-wise. The Holy Spirit gives us power, gives us love, and gives us self-discipline. God's power helps us to be fruitful and faithful, to do things that honour God that we couldn't do ourselves, to keep believing and living for Jesus when we're tempted to give up. God's power can do that in our lives. The Holy Spirit can help us understand God's love as well, helps us love others when we're not capable in ourselves. He can help us truly love even when we don't feel like it, even when the person is not particularly lovable, it seems. God can help us to show true love to them. And the Holy Spirit, can produce self-discipline in us as well. So even when we're low, even when we're struggling to engage with God, when we're questioning whether he's there, whether we're struggling to stay in a routine, or when we're tested, when we're tried, when we're needing strength in our faith, the Holy Spirit can bring us into regular and fruitful times with God, reading the Bible, praying, worshipping, talking in encouraging ways with other Christians. He can do that with us. If you're struggling to make time for God in your life at the moment, ask Him for His help. Ask someone that you know well within the church for help as well, and we can be supporting you in that, and God will support you and bring the fruit of that self-discipline in your life. And remember your calling as well. If you're part of a particular ministry and you're questioning, where's this all going? I seem to be putting in loads of effort and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Paul reminds Timothy of when he was called in, which verse is that one? In verse 6. Verse 5 and verse 6. Remember your calling. When Timothy was called into Christian leadership, Paul was there praying through it with him. Paul prayed for him and released him into that ministry. Not all callings last forever. Not all ministries last forever. But if you're serving and you're questioning whether you're doing the right thing, or if you're doubting whether God is actually in what you're doing, think back to your calling. Think back to the start of that journey, that particular ministry. What did it feel like? What did God do? How did you know that that was the right thing to do? Be assured by that, that God was there. Be assured that you're on the right track. And remember that as God calls us to ministry, calls us to live for Him, He equips us. He won't leave us on our own to try and do it in our strength. Paul reminds Timothy to fan into flame the gifting that God gives him in the Spirit to fulfill his ministry. So that is in verse 6. So what are your gifts? What skills has God given you that you can be using to honour him? He's blessed you. And he's made you you for a reason, and that is to honour him and to know him and to live for him. Reflect on those and be encouraged and affirmed in that. Remember grace. Remember grace. Paul reminds Timothy that his standing with God is because of Jesus and not because of his own goodness. Not because Timothy is particularly competent or particularly holy, but because of Jesus' unparalleled, unfathomable grace. Do you feel useless? Do you feel as though God would never accept you? Do you doubt that God could ever use you for anything valuable or purposeful? Do you think that your actions will stop God from loving you? If you trust Jesus, you are His. You are His by grace. It is all about Him. He loves you. He has made you His. We are all part of God's family together because of grace, not because of our goodness. Be affirmed and be encouraged by that. Serving God and living for Him will be tough, but it's not a burden. It's not a penance. We're not trying to pay God back. We do it out of joy, out of thankfulness, and it's a privilege to serve Him. And remember others as well. Remember that even when things are difficult, or even when things are going brilliantly and you just want to grow in your relationship with God, remember others. Remember to be proactive in the faith. Get on the front foot. Paul reminds Timothy to look to the needs of others. There's a couple of passages up there where he refers to it in chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 10. Tell others about Jesus and support others in their faith. Because God is with us, our struggles shouldn't turn us completely inwards and make us put up the barricades. In Christ we have power, we have love, and we have self-discipline to get on the front foot and to seek to build the kingdom. If we find faith hard, there must be others that must be finding it hard as well. What do they need? How can we bless and encourage them? People need to hear about Jesus. People need to hear and to know that salvation. And God's word is not changed. Even by our circumstances, even by our struggles, God's word is not changed. Our ministries can still be fruitful, even though we struggle. And remember God's faithfulness. Remember his goodness to us. Paul reminds Timothy at the end of the passage in verses 12 and 13 that God is faithful. That's just who he is. He can't be any other way. He will always be faithful. He cannot be any other way. So remember the occasions that God has been specifically faithful to you. Think about those. Remember the answered prayers. Remember the people who were there at the right time, with the right words, with the right help. Remember the Bible passages that gave you comfort, that gave you affirmation at the right time. Remember the miraculous ways that our circumstances have changed in ways that only God could have done, in ways that only God could have achieved. Remember these things. Remember all of these things. And bring these in your current circumstances to God. Lay them at his feet. Ask for his help. Ask for his intervention. Ask for his strength to keep going in him. Because that's what we need. So what's next for you? What's coming up? Where are you now in your faith? Remember how God has shown himself and revealed himself to you. And remember that he's faithful. It seems appropriate now for us to kind of respond to this in the way that Paul hoped that Timothy would. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing a couple of songs. The first is going to be a great song of praise and thanksgiving. And I encourage you through this song to be thinking back and encouraging God to remind you of the ways that he's been faithful to you. The specific occasions that we can be really assured, where we knew that God was real and his presence was with us. To think back to those and to thank him for it. We're then going to have a time when the band are going to pray for us and play in the background. It's just an opportunity for you to have some time with God, to bring those things to him. Wherever we're going in our faith, whatever's next for us, to just commit to him, to trust him, to offer these things to him. And I pray that he'll be bringing to mind the things that we need to know and we need to hear and we need to remember that are going to give us that confidence to trust him and to press on in the faith. And then we're going to sing a song to close that really commits us and is a real prayerful affirmation that we're going to trust Jesus. It's not always tricky, and a lot of the songs that we sing are very much things that we aspire to, not things that we necessarily do perfectly day in, day out. But I pray that that will be our desire to trust Jesus more and more in every aspect of our lives. So shall we stand? I'll quickly pray for us, and then the band will lead us in that. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're with us this evening by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you speak through your word. Thank you, Lord, that you speak through the testimonies of others, through the encouragement of knowing others and the community of faith that we're in now. Lord, through this time, bring to mind the ways that you've been faithful to us in the past. Help us to rightly thank you and praise you for those. And Lord, in this time, will you be revealing yourself to us? Show us how faithful you are. Give us a deeper understanding of your love and your grace that you showed us in Jesus and that you've shown us in many, many ways through our lives. And will you help us as we respond to trust you more and to live in greater dependence on you, Lord. Amen. It's been a real pleasure worshipping with you this evening. I hope that God has really spoken to you and encouraged you this evening. Whilst I was preparing, I had a real sense that this might be for somebody. In verses 12 and 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." I just wonder if there's somebody has put themselves in the wrong category and believes himself to have been disowned by God because they've disowned him. Be assured, if you believe in Jesus, if you trust in him for your salvation, then you belong to him. He is faithful. He is always going to be faithful because that's who he is. Be affirmed of your place in God's family. If there's anything that people would like to talk about more or pray about more, please come and speak to myself or Peter or somebody over in the prayer space over there on the side of the sanctuary. But I pray God's blessing for you this week. I pray that the God who called us to be in his family, who gives us the strength through the Spirit and through each other to keep going, will give you that strength this week, that he will keep you on track and keep you faithful to him. And I pray that you will know God's blessing, Father, Son, and Spirit this week, and that you will see it and that you will be thankful to God for it. In his name, amen.